So it's strange not having to having any songs, but we're going to go straight into the message. So if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, this is the message that I wanted to bring today and in a world of so much uncertainty. Matthew 28, 23 to 27. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marvelled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey him?" Now, I don't know if there's many children watching at home at the moment, but if you are, you can always draw a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and you could scan it and send it to me, your picture, at my email address. So if you had a picture of Jesus with his disciples on the boat on a stormy sea, please do that during the message if you would like to. The reason I picked this passage is just to highlight the idea and the knowledge that God is with us in all circumstances. And that's why these words stand out to me, that God, Jesus, is in control. We read, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.'" Most of the disciples were professional fishermen. They knew the lake's mood. They knew how fickle the weather could be. And on the Sea of Galilee, often the lake would turn into turmoil very quickly. It was an interesting geographical area, which have found that interesting, that you have Mount Hermon to the north. It rises 1,000 metres above sea level. And then the Sea of Galilee is one of the lowest, or is the lowest, freshwater lake on the earth, 200 metres below sea level. And it forms a kind of wind tunnel. You have the cold of the mountain, and then you've got the heat of the lake, and it causes all sorts of quick tempests and storms. We read this, "A furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat." The boat was pretty crude in those days, pretty small, quite a lot of people in it, shallow drafted. And we read that the waves came over the boat, that it was in danger of being swamped by the waves. And the disciples, again, all professional fishermen, were really concerned about their health, their life. They probably had never been in a storm quite like this one. But when faced with the storm, they suddenly became afraid of drowning, of dying. And I tend to think that they found it hard to understand, as we do, how Jesus could be asleep at the back of the boat, at the stern of the boat, on a cushion, how Jesus could sleep through such a storm. We know that Jesus was extremely tired at this stage, that he had delivered the Sermon on the Mount, that he had performed many miracles, that he'd moved around quite a bit, that the crowds were on top of him all the time. And so he wanted to go across the lake just to get out of the fullness, the activity of, at that stage, the western side of the lake, and move to a more quiet area, leaving the crowds behind him. But this is an interesting story, because the disciples, they've witnessed all the miracles of Jesus, And they've decided to get into the boat with Jesus. That's part of their discipleship, to follow Jesus. But brothers and sisters, they tended to stumble. They did stumble at the first hurdle. They suddenly had no faith at all, even though they had witnessed the miracles, the teaching, and all the things happening around Jesus. And I wonder if it's the same for us today in our current environment. In my own experience, what is happening now is unprecedented. Every day I click on the link to see how many people have been infected in the world by the coronavirus, COVID-19, and each day it seems to be going up, and the number of infections in Australia is going up each day. At our meeting here on Wednesday night, there was about 460 people infected, and today, looking at the same graphs, it's gone up to be well over 1,000, very close to 1,100. And the laws are changing all around us. What we can do, the separation between people, it seems to be an ongoing thing. But my question to you really is this: in the midst of this storm, do you still believe that Jesus is in control, that Jesus is King? Do you still believe it? Have you confidence in God? Usually when things happen, we put a lot of trust in the medical profession, and they're doing a great job. But a cure or a vaccine for corona, for COVID-19, still seems to be a year away. In the turmoil of things, really serious things are taking place. People can't find work. People have lost their jobs. Retirement savings have plummeted through the stock market declining. And then there's concerns about health and the elderly and the aged in our community. And to me, it is a storm. I personally have never experienced anything quite like what's happening today. I don't think many people have, unless you lived through a war. So in the middle of this storm, as a disciple of Jesus, do you trust him? Have you got every confidence in God? Charles Haddon Spurgeon writes, "I scarcely know of an apter picture of a church than a ship upon the treacherous Galilean Sea, with Jesus and his disciples sailing in it." The Apostle Paul writes, we will go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Richard Phillips, another commentator writing in his 1 Peter commentary, says this: "We don't live in Eden. We haven't yet reached the safety of the promised land. We are still pilgrims and aliens in this world." The world is, as we know, it seems to be changing by the day. Even as we know this week, people who went to the beach were told that they were no longer allowed to go, Bondi Beach. But Jesus knows all this. He sends us trials. And we know he's in control of all circumstances. J.C. Ryle writes, "By affliction, he teaches us many precious lessons, which without it, we should never learn." Well, how did the disciples react to this lesson from Jesus? He knew the storm was coming. How did they react? And we'd have to say that they didn't react too well at all. So they woke him up and they said to him, "Lord, save us, we are going to drown." Now that's the way it's written in Matthew's Gospel, but in Mark's Gospel it's far more strongly put. They go up to Jesus and they say, "Don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we drown?" In Mark's gospel, it's a kind of accusation. In Matthew's gospel, it's more of a pleading, "Lord, save us." And so Jesus wakes up, gets off his pillow, and he looks at his disciples and he says this, and they're chilling words. He says to his disciples, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Again, because it's paralleled in Mark's gospel, Jesus stands at the boat and simply says, "Quiet, be still." I have a dog that barks over the fence from my house. He's driving me crazy. And I yell out over the fence, "Be quiet, be still." And it makes absolutely no difference at all. But Jesus stood in front of a storm, the boat going up and down, and he simply calls to the wind and the waves, "Be still." And it was still. Brothers and sisters, it just demonstrates who Jesus is, that Jesus is God. He's fully in control of everything that happens in this world. Life will never just simply be smooth sailing with a few hiccups and hurdles on the way. That's what we sometimes think, but there are many difficulties in the life that we live. But brothers and sisters, every miracle of Jesus points to the ultimate miracle, which is that we can be right with God. What's humanity's greatest need? It's to be right with our Father in heaven. It's to be able to say, along with the Heidelberg Catechism, that what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's the confidence we have because Jesus is God, Jesus is our Saviour, and Jesus loves us. Our greatest need is to be right with God, and Jesus is the means by which we can be right with God. That's our greatest need. The cure for the coronavirus is not our greatest need. Our greatest need is to be right with God, because without Jesus, we would perish eternally. We would be drowned, so to speak, in terms of our miracle today. We do believe that in all the circumstances of life that God can turn them around to the good. And we don't always understand it. We would think today perhaps that is a good that we can't meet together at church. But God can turn all these things to the good, but we just don't always know how he's going to do that. But we believe he can do that because he is God. He is with us on the boat of life. How amazing is that? What he does, we're not always sure, but we know he can turn it to the good. One of my favourite stories is in Daniel. It's about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And they wouldn't bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And Nebuchadnezzar was angry with them. He was going to throw them into a blazing furnace. And we read this in Daniel chapter 3. "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you have set up." Now that These men are men of faith. Doesn't matter what happens, we trust you. Our God is able to do everything. He might choose not to, but we still trust him in these circumstances. And Jesus offers us something as our Saviour. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Now the disciples are in the boat and the wind just ceased and the waves stopped rolling so largely that they would swamp the boat. Everything became quiet and still. And the disciples said, the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." The disciples just stood in awe of what they had seen. I dare say they were more impressed by Jesus than the storm that they had just experienced. What kind of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey? They had seen many miracles up to this point, but now their lives were saved because Jesus was with them. I want you to just think for a moment, what kind of man is this? You see, the disciples couldn't put him in a category. He was in a category all by himself. He was so unique. He was God, the Son of God, and he carried authority over all things. You know the amazing thing about Scripture and reading the miracles of Jesus is how comforting they can be. As we read the story of Jesus calming the sea, we know that Jesus can also look after us. We simply know that. God, through his Spirit, applies the words to our hearts and grants us amazing peace. But brothers and sisters, there's a real challenge in these verses for ourselves. Before Jesus calms the wind and the waves, he says to his disciples, "O ye of little faith, O you of little faith." I want to read you a quote by J.C. Ryle, the famous English preacher, and he says this: "How many have faith and love enough to forsake all for Christ's sake, and all follow him with ever, whithersoever he goes, and yet are full of fears in the hour of trial? How many have faith enough to turn to Jesus in every trouble, crying, 'Lord, save us,' and yet not grace enough to lie still and believe in the darkest hour that all is well? And yet not grace enough to lie still and believe in the darkest hour that all is well." Jesus is as much with us today as he was 2,000 years ago with his disciples. Is Jesus saying to you today, "O ye of little faith, you don't trust me at all"? My own life, these words have meant something to me because I've heard Jesus actually look at me, in my mind that is, and say, "O ye of little faith, you haven't trusted in me." And I felt ashamed and rebuked by these words. You might be going through a really difficult time at the moment, job insecurity, or not being able to find a job, not being able to carry through with your plans can be very, very difficult. But brothers and sisters, you don't want Jesus to turn to you and say, "Are ye of little faith?" He saved us. He died for us. He loves us and we're in his hands. Do you believe that? Just as I finished, when I ever read this particular passage, I always think of my mum and her choir and a song that they sang. And I'll just read you a few words. It could be the only bit of singing. No, it won't be, because I'm not going to sing it. But I'll just read you the words because I like them. "Master, the tempest is raging. Oh, the billows are tossing high. The sky is overshadowed with darkness, with blackness. Oh, no shelter or help is nigh. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no water shall swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still." Let me pray.